If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Also, Common Fans, this episode is brought to you by the Nebraska Farm Bureau, the largest agricultural organization in the state with more than 56,000 members. For over a century, Farm Bureau has supported Nebraska's farm and ranch families, but their impact stretches far beyond the field. They grow leaders, amplify voices at the Capitol, and strengthen communities across our state. Agriculture is the backbone of Nebraska. When it thrives, we all thrive. Join Nebraska Farm Bureau today at nefb.org. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
How are you?
Doing well. How are your New Year's resolutions coming along?
What?
It's January and, I'm doing dry January. I'm trying to eat a little better. A lot of people are doing, trying to work out. I didn't really exercise the last couple months of 2025, trying to get back in the gym a little bit, that kind of thing. But it's funny, like if you click on one thing on Twitter, for instance, or on Instagram, then you get every related post on that topic, as people know. If the Common Fans are wondering, if you want to, get ripped and shed belly fat in 2026, all you have to do is eat 47 pounds of protein. Okay. Protein's back. You want to eat a ribeye with a fried egg and real butter. That's all back.
Okay. Write that down. Okay. And then
you got to get 7 to 9 hours of uninterrupted sleep in a climate controlled room. So if you have children, young children who maybe wake up in the middle of the night, sorry, kids. Like, they're going to have to fend for themselves. Right.
Okay.
You said, right.
What if you have to go to the bathroom? Did you just hold it?
You got to sleep through it. Sleep through it.
Yeah. All
right. And then lifting is in, cardio's out. Okay.
Okay.
So lift.
It's arm day, all day, every day.
You got to lift at least, I believe it's the science says 18 times a week. I think you have to lift 18 times a week. And then walk 20,000 steps a day.
Did you make this all up? Is this real?
I'm making it all up.
Okay.
Oh, and creatine. Creatine is back. The 90s are back. Everyone's creatine again.
Or creatine.
They have it in gummy form now, which would be, I think, more easier to do that than like the old school powder.
TJ, I think you should go with the old school method of like the trash bag over yourself, turning the heat up and running like the exercise bike.
He's got to wrestle
at 189. He's got to cut weight.
You want to wrestle shoot? Nobody needs to wrestle shoot. Vision Quest? Anybody? Vision Quest?
Never seen it.
We had to watch it. For some reason, we watched it on the bus on the way to or from a basketball game once in high school.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think that's a movie with Lunatic Fringe, Red Rider. I think that's kind of a one hit wonder. I don't know if you guys know that song, Lunatic Fringe.
No.
I know you're out there.
I'm not sure.
No.
And we're sorry, Comet fans. We're late getting this episode out this week. Once again, the Comet fans are busy.
It's all Jeff's fault. Let's be real. It's all Jeff's fault.
It's my fault.
Yeah,
it's my fault. I blame it on the transfer.
So busy.
There's so many things going on in the world of college football. It's impossible to keep up. We had to retain all this information so that we could bring you the best quality product, Comet fans.
I mean, there is truth to that. I mean, the last time we recorded, we were talking about Kenny Minchie and glazing him all up. And then 24 hours later, he's not even our quarterback anymore.
So. Huskers really dropped the ball on that one. We needed him.
No, they didn't. They dodged a major bullet.
That's right. We didn't need Lenny. He probably left because we were calling him Lenny, is my guess.
Probably.
But we didn't need him.
No.
But we're going to get into all of the transfer portal madness momentarily. We're recording this on Tuesday before Nebraska plays Oregon in basketball tonight. We got to give a shout out to Fred. But the episode won't be out until Wednesday morning. So I just want to say for the listeners now, I was feeling pretty sprightly this morning, and I made a few comments to my Oregon-born, University of Oregon-graduated wife about how Oregon basketball is a middling program. And I told Michael, my son, that he's got to leave before the game will be over to go to basketball practice. I said, Nebraska should have the game in hand by the time you go to practice, so I wouldn't worry too much. So I made some comments along those lines. And so if somehow Nebraska tripped up by the Ducks, it's probably my fault.
Thanks a freaking lot.
Great.
Again, since we've recorded two more wins since we've recorded, right? At Ohio State, at Indiana?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right?
Two road wins, massive. Like, they just keep rolling.
Yes,
right?
Indeed. Ohio
State was close, and they held on for the win. And then Indiana, they're down 16, and come back and win by six. I mean, they're up by nine late, and then they have one by six. And this is like a magical season that just we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what to do.
Crazy. No.
Don't know what to do. Don't know how to react. Love this roster. They're such a fun team to root for. Mm-hmm. You know, older. Yeah. There's a few guys that have been in the program a few years. You don't get that a lot with the portal anymore these days, where you got guys that you've been rooting for three or four seasons, you know, so you develop kind of not a relationship, but you root for those guys. They've been around you. They, you know, they're part of the community, if you will, the Husker community.
We will. Right. And it feels somebody different contribute, like somebody different is like making, or multiple guys are scoring a lot of points or making impact plays or hitting big shots every game. I mean, they have different ways they can beat you. Jamarcus Lawrence had 27 against Indiana. Mm-hmm. Frank Mass obviously has been awesome. Sanford, Frager, all these guys. I mean, even the role play, Sam Hoiberg is like one of the best stories in college basketball. Like, it's just such a fun team to watch and to root for. So
really
soak it in, Husker.
To your point, TJ, it's just nice if we can rely upon, usually we have like one shooter that has to be on. And if they're slightly off, we're screwed. But now we've got, if one of our best guys is just a little bit off, someone else always steps up, whether it's like Frager or Lawrence or anything like that. Really fun to watch, guys. Just really fun to watch.
It is. We might have to go back and ask forgiveness from the board. We might have crossed a line there with a little.
Now, screw the board.
A little too much.
We're setting records here. A little too much. We're not listening to the board.
A little too much non-football talk. But, I mean, you know, got to do it. And one last thing, Matty O. Bull pick 'em. Who's winning? What's going on? One game left.
Yes.
Common fan bull pick 'em.
Yes. Common fan Schwabi, Mark Ely. Good friend, and again, couldn't be a better partner on the golf course. We got the standings here, and this is, I think, what's probably going to be the final update before we crown a winner after next Monday's national championship game. Michael Sevier, friend of the program, still in first place, boys.
Still holding on tight.
We got Michael at 300 points in first place. We've got Derek from Alliance nipping at his heels at 290. And then Lavelle 32 is his entry name at 280. So there's just 20 points separating first and third, guys. This is a huge game on Monday night. So depending on, you know, who picks who that night will determine our winner. So,
but is there any difference in picks?
We are not able to see who they have picked, which is the right way to do it, TJ. We don't want anyone talking to anyone.
Well, you can usually see other people's brackets in March Madness.
That's true. That is true. Well, not with this.
We'll have to get back to it.
Until Mark, this sounds kind of shady now, to be quite honest. I don't even know if this is legit anymore.
This is standard practice for a bowl pick'em, guys. You aren't allowed to see other people's picks.
Stop undermining your own podcast competition, Jeff, please. All right, let's talk transfer portal, boys. It's just a good reminder about, like, why you got to try not to get too high or too low when this stuff happens. Literally, for last week's episode, we got the news about Lenny Minchie committing to Nebraska right before we were recording. By the time we put it out on Monday or sometime on Monday, there was already then news that he was flipping to Kentucky or that was likely or whatever. So, that just sums up the transfer portal for you.
Sure.
I want to start with the quarterback room though, guys. That's a good place to start. I'd say since then, you know, think about this. Before we're adding anybody, we've got TJ Latif, basically. Mm-hmm. Graham's dad is gone. He was never going to be the starter unless disaster struck, but he was always a nice depth piece to have. Obviously, Raiola's gone. Marcus Davila, who came from Purdue, again, probably a guy that no one expected to be the starter ever, but was a D1, you know, a guy you thought could fill in if you had to. He's in the transfer portal. So it's feeling fairly treacherous. With the quarterback room, with only TJ Latif. We love TJ Latif on this program, but probably got some room to develop there. So since the Minchie news, the Huskers have pivoted to and had two major adds. One, Anthony Calandria from UNLV put up some major stats, which we'll get into. And then the other one, just a feel-good story. It feels like reading the tea leaves and the news, et cetera, it was unexpected. Danny Kalin.
Yes.
Who committed with Dylan Raiola's class. A four-star guy out of Bellevue West from Omaha. Elite 11 quarterback. Like a solid quarterback on his own. Redshirted in 24. Transferred to Virginia and played in the backup role in 25. And got some meaningful snaps in backup duty in 25. He's back. And I think that, I mean, nobody knows, right? I think all three of those guys think they're going to compete for the starting job and think they're going to be the starter, right? Assuming Calandria is kind of your guy for 2026. Mm-hmm. But what I like about Kalin is he's coming home. Anybody could leave anytime. We don't know. Yep. Transfer portal. We just said you can't get too high or too low. But I assume he's comfortable with not winning the job in 26 and hanging around and still competing for the job in the years to come.
Yes.
So suddenly we got three quarterbacks, all of whom have D1 experience, D1 snaps. You got to feel pretty good about that.
It's helpful.
Yes. All very seemingly very capable, which is, like, I think more than you could say, you know, for some time. You know, we've always got one guy that's for sure the starter. And then maybe one guy that can come in if there's an emergency. And then beyond that, you know, Nebraska historically, or at least the last 20 some years, there's not much after the first two guys. So it's good to have a stocked QB room with guys you're pretty comfortable with. And I love that Danny Dimes is back. You know, you hope that you know, maybe, and I don't know, it's portal era, but you hope that he's willing to just stick it out and ride out the rest of his college career here. And whether he's starter or backup or not, it's just, it'd be nice to have a guy like that around as a just in case.
Yeah. In my opinion too, like, I think it says something, maybe just, I know money talks, so getting somebody to come back, you gotta chip him off a little something, but I'm hoping that part of the reason is he believes in what Nebraska's doing, and maybe he enjoys being coached by Matt Rhule. Because let's not forget, just over the last few weeks with the way Indiana has played, there's been, I don't want to say maybe animosity towards the coaching staff and how they handle certain things, but the Cignetti way is the hard-nosed, this is the way we're doing it type of thing. Matt Rhule maybe is a little bit more relaxed, tries to relate to the players a little bit more. I feel like maybe he's been getting some flack for that. So hopefully this just proves that maybe he gets along with these players. He speaks to them. He likes what they're all about, and they like what he has to offer. So hopefully this is all going to work out in the long run.
Well, and Willis McGahee and one other guy entered the transfer portal and then came back. And so to that point, Geoff, I think, you know, you got Raiola, which is a unique situation. And then Keona Davis, who last I read declared for the transfer portal, but actually hasn't, whatever form you have to fill out or whatever box you have to check to enter the transfer portal, whatever. I don't know if it's a physical, you have to drive to the portal and actually jump in. I don't know how that works. Like I'm thinking, Jeff, you'll love this. I'm thinking of like Super Mario Brothers, where you jump in those tube things.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. You go down. It's called a pipe, TJ. It's not a tube.
Pipe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Portal. Yep. The transfer portal pipe. Last I saw, he hadn't officially done that. So we'll see with Keona Davis. I don't know what's going on there. Would really love to hang on to him because D-line is so crucial for this team in 2026. Mm. But you don't have, I mean, knock on wood, this episode will come out Wednesday the 14th. There's a 3-day dead period, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because there's a coaches convention. And then we're wrapping up portal business pretty quickly after that. No word from Ja'Cory Barney, like no word, like it appears all the other dudes are coming back. Nazaiah Hunter. A lot of the young guys. So I think that speaks well of sort of the culture that Matt Rhule's built. Again, we've got to see it on the field. That's got to be the next step. But most of the guys I think that are leaving are guys that it's clear that their opportunity is probably not going to be at Nebraska, and they're going to try to find somewhere else where they can play.
Sure.
So yeah. I think that's, you know. Listen to this. Tony Calandria spent 2 years at Virginia and then a year at UNLV in 2025, 7,542 career passing yards with almost 64% career completion percentage. That's pretty solid. 49 touchdowns. And he's also rushed for over 1,100 yards and 12 more touchdowns on the ground. He has thrown 29 picks. That is, I would say that's mildly concerning, maybe a little more than mildly concerning, but everything else, I mean, in all seriousness, like, I'm not trying to pick on Minchie. Like, I think folks could go either way. I'd rather have a guy who's done it on the field somewhere.
Yes.
Right. I'd rather have a guy. I mean, maybe Minchie will go to Kentucky and win the freaking Heisman Trophy. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But nope. I'd rather have a guy who's done it on the field to be your guy. Again, I think he's only got 1 year. So I think the idea is like, he's your guy, right? I mean, he's got 1 year. And so he's your guy for 2026. And that gives Latif another year to develop. That gives Kalen another year to develop. Hopefully they both stick around. Then you've got Trey Taylor, kind of the headliner of the 2027 recruiting class. Suddenly it starts to look pretty good again. Now we've been in this position before. Guys, you know, a guy like TJ Latif, if it doesn't work out in 2026 or Kalen wins the backup job instead of Latif, like who knows, right?
Right.
But the picture starts to look pretty, and this is the world we're going to live in. We're going to have to get more quarterbacks from the portal in the future. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think all these guys know you're going to have to compete for a job wherever you are.
Yeah.
But did we ever get word on a girlfriend tracker for Danny Kalen?
No, you creep. We didn't get that. All right. We didn't get it.
Maybe he's got a girl back in Lincoln or Omaha, and that influenced the decision. If somebody had a reputable, reliable girlfriend tracker, we could have been in on this before others were.
Well, if she's listening, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate
thank
what you've done.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
And we wish you well in your relationship moving forward with the young Daniel. All right. Any other thoughts on the quarterback situation?
I understand, and I can agree to a certain extent about wanting to have somebody that's done it and has been a starter, but I'm telling you right now, I'm calling it right now, Kentucky's going to go on a run next year, and we dropped the ball on Minshew. I'm just saying it right now. Calling it right now.
I'm gonna call right now that Kentucky doesn't even make a bowl game, Jeff. Oh, cool.
All right.
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
Somebody record this.
friend of the program, Sam McEwen, has said more than once he expects Kentucky to go 4-8 next year.
Oh, that wow. sounds about right. Yeah, if you look at their schedule, that sounds about right.
What does Sam know?
Yeah, right. Good point, Jeff. Sorry. Just, I don't know why you feel the need to like slobber all over him.
He left your other favorite team. He left your two favorite teams. He's gone.
You said this is the era that we live in now, and I truly believe in this young man. No, he almost won the starting job for a national.
All right, Jeff's going backstage. So Matt, what I think is
the only move you could make there. Yeah,
exactly. What I think is Minshew decided to transfer to Nebraska for a brief period. Jeff had a small amount of insight into who he was as a player. Jeff normally doesn't do any research, and it's unclear if he even watches the games. And so he had a small amount of insight into a player. And so like he's really pissed now that guy's gone and he can't talk about him anymore. Jeff,
that is not true at all. Future national title team. He was almost a quarterback for him. Whatever. I don't hear any more.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on the quarterback room, gentlemen?
Team Minshew.
I agree with you, General, that in this era, I think it's going to be, and it's going to be more and more prevalent of experienced teams being successful. I mean, you look at Indiana, right? They've got one of the oldest rosters I think in college football.
Yeah.
And it's a different sport, so it's not apples to apples, but look at what we just talked about, Nebraska basketball. You know, they're like, I think I heard Schick and Nick, they said they're in the, Matt Schick said they're in the top five in age in the Big Ten. So like older teams, experienced guys having success. They've been in the college game for a while. They've done the strength and conditioning. They've done the nutrition. They know they're essentially semi-pro at this point, right? Like these guys know what they're doing. Yeah. So, you know, I've thought this since the portal kind of started to become a thing. Nebraska could be really successful if we just get the right guys. I think we've had a few too many misses in the portal. Most of the hits, I think, have been at the wideout position. Rather than that, you could make a case for just about everybody we've got in the portal. It's like, I guess they contributed, but did they really help? I don't know. Yeah. So it's going to be huge. We got to have some of these guys, you know, Calandria, whoever, and these other positions too. They have to be hits in the portal. They have to be starters, and they have to do a good job, you know. And we're paying these guys.
Yes.
We're paying them.
Right. Right.
So,
on that note, Matty, good bridge to the next position I want to talk about, which is offensive line. Thanks for having me. So,
bridge.
We've talked about this already in the offseason. We've hired not one, but two Power Five offensive line coaches, Jeep Wade from Georgia Tech and Lonnie Tinsley from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. We clearly are investing in, I think, we're focusing on more running quarterbacks. I think we're going to be more of a run-first team than we have been with Dylan. That should get all the Husker fans' blood going.
Frothing
at the mouth. To add to that now, you know, think about the offensive line in terms of starters coming back. Justin Evans-Jenkins at the center position and Elijah Pritchett at the left tackle position are your two guys, your two reliable starters coming back. The Huskers so far have added three other like major O linemen in the transfer portal. So a guy from South Carolina named Tree.
Tree?
You gotta love an offensive lineman named Tree.
Tree.
Tree Babelade. Tree Babelade. He's got 2 years remaining. Brendan Black from Iowa State. He's got 1 year remaining. And then we just added this guy from LSU, Paul Mabanga from LSU. I think a big get. Some others were in on him. And he's got 2 years remaining as well. So those are probably your other three starters on the O-line next year. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. We'll see. You got to have spring ball. You got to have depth charts come out, all those things. Is it mildly concerning that we're heading into year four of Rhule? In his first 3 years, he took boatloads of offensive linemen in every class, some of whom were really highly rated. And yet we got new offensive line coaches coming in. They're sort of evaluating what we've got, and they're being a very, very aggressive in the portal. Thoughts?
Is it a concern?
Maybe a little. I mean, because some of those guys, I'm thinking of Grant Bricks and Gibson Pyle, because I think those two names just come to mind. I think they were his first recruiting class.
I think it's the second
year
one.
Year one to year two. Yeah, I mean, you'd like to see those guys cracking into the two deep, but who's to say they won't? You know, I mean, we're looking for, like, we need to win now. So mm-hmm. I think you could make a case for that if we're looking at, you know, if we're trying to nitpick and find things that we don't like that are going on. Yeah, you could say that. But I mean, if you're trying to win now, it goes back to what we just talked about a few minutes ago of having guys who have done it, who have the experience, who aren't going to, you know, shudder under the bright lights when we get into conference play next fall. You know, I can go both ways on that, but when you got to win now and you want to get, I mean, the Iowa State guy has 1 year left. So you're thinking he's going to be a starter, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know. I'm sitting on the fence on this one. You could make a case for that, but also, you know, we just fired our O-line coach. You know, we just fired Donnie Raiola. So, you know, you could make a case. Well, they put some of the blame on him too, I think. Yeah. Like, it's not necessarily just Coach Rhule. But the development piece is absolutely has something to do with position coaches. So if we're going to nitpick and say, why aren't those guys more developed? We got to say, hey, Uncle Donnie, you know, why aren't these guys ready to go? They're going into year three or four. You know, what's the deal here?
Well, you make a good point, Matteo. First of all, none of these guys is guaranteed a starting spot. And second of all, we're going to need more than five offensive linemen. So maybe Gunnar Gatula comes in and wins one of the tackle spots. Maybe Grant Bricks breaks through. Maybe some of these other younger guys break through. So we don't know how that's going to play out. It jumped out to me that you've got two new sets of eyes coming in. We're bringing in two guys from the SEC, one who's played a ton of ball at Iowa State, and presumably they're expecting to at least compete for starting jobs, if not be starters. Again, I'm glad they're doing it. Don't get me wrong. Like, you can only, you know, every year, wherever you can upgrade from the portal, you should do it, right? Don't get me wrong. But it just feels like, okay, is this an indictment a little bit on the offensive line development? But to your point, like, a lot of that remains to be seen. We haven't seen a depth chart yet. We haven't had spring ball. None of that has happened. I'm not upset that they're doing it at all. I mean, if we're on the way to becoming a road grading 200 plus yard rushing per game, rock pounding team, I think all Husker fans are going to get behind that. But it's something to keep an eye on, I think.
I think Owen's made a good point of the time is of the essence. I think Matt Rhule understands that you got to win now. 4 years in now, we got to make some progress. And it kind of begs the question with the transfer portal era, and you guys who probably know a little bit more about this, you know, development is in the trenches, right? That's where you have to develop most players, whether offensive or defensive line. Is that age of development kind of starting to take a back seat because you can just pick up players whenever you want to now? Like, is that the way that coaches and players just do it now? It's not really about developing them homegrown right here. You're just picking them up as you go along to just kind of fill spots.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy and Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy and Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy and Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
I think you have to have a balance with it. I think you're still going to have to get high school kids, because I feel like those 3-star guys that maybe aren't going to fetch a whole lot of money in the portal. You still need those guys. Like, those are the guys to me that can become the core of your football team. Like the guys that are, I'm here to go to school for 4 or 5 years and play football, and this is where I'm going to be, and I'm not going anywhere else. Like, we still need a lot of those guys. Like, that's that's the majority of your roster, is those, you know, those 3-star and under guys, and the homegrown guys. That's still going to make up a huge part of your team. You do need, like, the situation that we're in now, in the win now mode. Yeah, you got to go get the portal, but we're still going to want to keep all those other guys around that we've got.
Yeah,
you know, because that I've said this before, offensive and defensive line are to me the most developmental positions on a football team. So yeah, you got to grow those guys the way you want them. You got to put the weight on them the right way, and get all the technique right. And it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a very, very good question, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with that, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Especially at Nebraska, development will always have to be part of it, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't want to start relying on 20 transfers per year. But the nice thing about the portal is, if you have swung and missed on some guys, or you have a coach that didn't work out or whatever, you can, it was impossible to fix those problems in the past, right? If you had a whole position group or multiple, it was really, really hard, maybe not impossible, really, really hard to fix a whole position group in one off season in the past in college football. And that's no longer the case. So that's the upside of the portal, even though there's some plenty of downsides as well. Real quick on the defense, guys. So, we all know the defense needs to get better. The Huskers have added 3 linebackers, one of whom came over from San Diego State. So he'll know Rob Orich's system. So that'll help. Another guy played a ton of ball at Oregon State, where he was coached by Trent Bray. So I think that's promising. Both of those guys have 2 years of eligibility left. I would expect those guys to be contributors right away. And then the other one, Will Hawthorne, is a younger guy from Iowa State, probably a depth piece at first. But, you know, we've got Vincent Shavers, now Willis McGahee coming back. You've got Dawson Merritt, who played as a true freshman this year. Christian Jones, who was a true freshman this year. I feel like that picture feels better now than it did right at the end of the season. Again, we talked a lot about the front 7 on defense in particular, which brings us to the defensive line. So here's what we've added so far. We've added Anthony Jones, edge rusher from UCLA. He's got 1 year of eligibility left. He's been to 4 schools in 4 years. So,
mercenary. He's a mercenary.
Hired gun.
But he's an edge rusher. Yep. We've added Jashir Whittington, defensive lineman from Pittsburgh, who played some meaningful snaps, has played some meaningful snaps at the D1 level. And then we added this guy. He's technically not considered part of the transfer portal because he came from JUCO. He came from Iowa Western, but he was an All-American at Iowa Western. His name's escaping me right now, but I'm going to look it up in a minute. And he's an interior defensive lineman, which is massive, and supposedly a pretty good pass rusher from the interior. So we've added 3 guys. It feels like we need about 6, to be honest, especially if Keona Davis is leaving. The portal is technically not closed yet. the fact is we're going to need all three of these guys to be more than just depth pieces. They all need to hit. They all need to be impactful guys this year.
That's where I think when I talked about hits and misses in the portal, I thought we swung and missed big time on D linemen in the portal in the last cycle. So yeah, depth pieces. I mean, I can't recall anyone other than really RVP. Who is our other interior? See, I mean, RVP sticks out to me the most.
In that Cade Perzak, was he on the edge or was he more of an interior guy?
I think they kind of moved him around. But we're super, super young on the D-line too. So yeah. I think that's part of it is they must really like those guys that we have already. And if that's the case, then hopefully they mature and get a little stronger this offseason in the weight room. And also I wanted to bring up, and this has been mentioned a little bit on social media. You know, I don't know a ton about strength and strength training at the college level, but with the amount of injuries that we've had on the offensive line and the way we've kind of gotten pushed around, when we're on D, you could kind of shoot some arrows at, what's his name? Corey Campbell, the strength coach.
I don't know, dude.
He's got to do some work this offseason. He's got to do some work.
Yes.
Let's call Boyd Apley right now. Let's get his opinion. Anybody got his phone number?
I'll tell you. I mean, I don't buy that. That argument goes around social media, and I flat out don't buy it. Okay. If you're gonna get into, here's what I think. We need to reevaluate our nutrition and our strength and conditioning program because we got our asses kicked on the field.
Right.
We got our asses pushed all over the field by Michigan and by Iowa and by Penn State and by Utah. That's why we need to reevaluate our strength and conditioning program. I understand people make this argument about injuries. Of course,
they're going to happen. Right.
Of course, proper strength and conditioning can help reduce the number of injuries. I'm not just playing devil's advocate for the sake of doing it. But I do feel like if you're going to break your leg, you're going to break your leg. It doesn't matter how much you can squat, right? Or whatever. Like injuries in football are going to happen. And so I think the bigger reason to evaluate the nutrition and strength and conditioning is because of what the product in the field has looked like.
Yes.
That's what's so weird to me is shouldn't everybody at this point, 2026, with decades of everybody doing it now, shouldn't everybody know what the proper exercises are, what the proper lifts are, what the proper things to do are so that you're big and strong and can move other big and strong people all over the field? Shouldn't that just be something people know? I don't want to hear this offseason, one thing I really don't want to hear about are mat drills.
No.
Ever since Matt Rhule has gotten here, the mat drills. Oh, they're so hard. Oh, this team's going to be so tough because of the mat drills. I don't want to hear about mat drills this offseason. I don't care about the mat drills.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you loud and clear.
Right. Tell us how you really feel, Tate. Jeez.
You know what? It's part of it, too. Those guys down there are kind of pampered. Look at those facilities down there, everything they got. Nice. I mean, it's a double-edged sword because you want the best facilities to get the guys in here. But then when they get here, do they get a little cozy down there? Beautiful cold tubs and everybody's got their own iPad and their lockers are so cool and all stuff.
No, you're right, Matt.
They still get it whether they win or lose.
They still get all that stuff. They ain't wear jock straps anymore.
You know what they do? Jeff, take it away. You guys got your ass kicked this week by insert team here. No cold tubs, none of it.
No compression.
It'd be like Major League when they make them take the old crappy rundown bus and plane to their road trips.
Put them in one of those ice baths, but run the boat motor like they do in that. Remember that?
Was it Tim Miles who locked the door to the locker room? Was that it? Didn't he do that a few years ago?
I don't recall.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Maybe I hope I'm not misremembering that. I think that's what happened.
The only thing I would say about defensive line before we move on, I know we're going to, but any addition is a good addition in my book because it can't get any worse, right? Can it get worse than what we were seeing last year? So in my opinion, I'm being serious here, any addition is a good addition because it was downright dreadful by the bowl game and by the time that time rolled around.
It wasn't great. But look, you got Cam Lenhart back. He was a freshman All-American. He's been a contributor ever since. Riley Van Poppel's back. Williams Winery's back. Cade Petrak is back. You've got some pieces to work with. Tyson Terry, who was recovering from an ACL injury out of high school. So he'll be a redshirt freshman, but I'm excited to see what he can do. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, Keona Davis comes back. I don't know for sure. Hopefully he comes back. But the other thing I think about, guys, really, this is a good one to close on. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because it made me think of something I wanted to say. Do you remember in 2022 when, so Frost got fired after three games, and then Nebraska, I think, then kind of got their butts kicked by Oklahoma the very next game. And then Shenander got fired after that, and Bill Bush took over the defense. Let's be clear. Like, the 2022 team was 4-8. They weren't particularly good. I might have made this point before, so sorry if I'm repeating myself.
Particularly.
They did beat Iowa.
They did.
But do you remember, like, as soon as Bill Bush took over, they started hitting more in practice. It was just a mindset thing. And the defense got a little better.
Yeah.
Right? And it was a mindset thing. We won our first two Big Ten games. We won a rock fight against Rutgers where we were down 13-0 going into the fourth quarter, and we won 14-13. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yep, Trey Palmer.
And then who was the other one? And I remember being like, let's just see where this thing goes. And where it went was one more win the rest of the season. But one thing, like, Bill Bush's defense was okay that year. And they didn't add guys. I don't know if they changed. I don't think they changed the scheme much. They just emphasized, they simplified things for the guys. They emphasized being more physical and hitting and playing tougher defense. So I don't know what they've been doing. So every coach who's come through here, at least Frost and Rule, Riley's guys, I think, were playing flag football in practice. But at least since Frost and Rule, they've talked about how physical they are in practice and how you have to hit and you have to tackle and you have to go full speed in practice. Assume they've been doing that anyway. But maybe just like, they got a little, maybe Butler, I don't know, maybe he was too technical. Maybe got a little too focused on scheme. Maybe it wasn't a great fit, you know, continuing to try to do Tony White's defense when Tony White left, whatever it was. So part of this has to be just like, yeah, it'd be nice to be Texas Tech and or whoever these new programs are with all the money and just go out and money whip about five top flight, you know, five defensive linemen and five linebackers or whatever. But absent that, some of this has just got to be like a mindset thing and a motor thing. And give me the guys who you've talked about this, Matty. Give me the guys who are going to stick their nose in there and going to want it more than the other guy. So some of it's just going to have to be that, right?
Yeah.
I continue, like we've talked about this before. I continue to believe that look, Iowa in 2025, I hate to compare it to Iowa. Iowa in 2025 was a pretty good Iowa team. It was the best Iowa team in at least a few years. But also, look at Indiana. Indiana's a better example. They have hardly any 4- and 5-star guys.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So figure it out. I continue to believe talent is not the issue. Put your guys in a position to succeed. Do what you need to do to be competitive in practice and at least put a product on the field that doesn't get their ass pushed around the field left and right against tougher, more talented teams. Put together a game plan and put together a culture and put together a program that can compete with anybody. You may get out talented sometimes, but you better be ready to punch those teams in the mouth at the very least.
Sure.
Woo! Okay.
Well said.
Thank you. I wasn't planning on going that way, but I'm glad we did. Real quick, Dylan Raiola is off to the Oregon Ducks. Everybody knows I'm married to an Oregon Duck. I live in Oregon. I'm actually annoyed that I can't just ignore Dylan Raiola.
You can't escape this guy.
For the next couple of
years. You
can't
escape him, Tage.
Super annoying. Mm-hmm. My understanding from what I've read and what folks have commented on is basically Raiola's a Duck no matter what. They're waiting on a decision from this year's starting quarterback, Dante Moore, about whether or not he's going to go to the NFL. If Moore comes back, Raiola will be his understudy this year, which I honestly think would be pretty good for him. He probably needed a redshirt year at Nebraska. And then he'll be the guy the following year. Or if Moore doesn't come back, then Raiola is the guy this year. What do we think about Raiola to Oregon? And also, what do we make of this? Has come up before. It's come up a lot on social media. What do we make of the fact that he has not put out one sort of public message saying thank you to Nebraska, saying goodbye to Nebraska, saying piss off Nebraska? He hasn't put out anything to Nebraska. So what do we think? What do we think about all of this, boys?
Go ahead. Owen,
okay. I don't need a thank you. I don't need that. I don't need some college kid to tell me thanks for everything. I just move on. Like, I'm fine with it. thank you. I'll say thank you to you, Dylan. Thank you for at least trying while you were here. Hopefully you were trying. But I don't need, as an adult man, I don't need some kid that's in college to tell me, give me a big thank you. So move on, do your thing. Hopefully you're successful. The only thing I have a big question about him going to Oregon. And I would imagine, and I don't know if you guys think this, that Dante would probably go pro, right? You think that he would probably enter the draft this year?
Did you not listen to what I just said, Joe?
I did listen, but I want your opinion. Do you think that that guy's going to go pro?
He's only 20.
I just don't. I don't know. Like, I just don't see somebody like Dylan Raiola with the, I don't know, I want to say ego. I just don't envision that guy sitting immediately. You know what I mean? I envision that guy wanting the starting job right now. And if Dante, for some reason, stayed, I don't know if it's Phil Knight money, but how the hell do you afford to pay all these people that much money, especially somebody in Dylan's situation, to just sit on the bench? I think that's kind of absurd to me. So I don't know. I think it's a weird fit at Oregon anyways. I don't know. Was Bo Nix a big runner? I can't remember. Like,
mobile.
Was he mobile? Yeah. Like,
But I think of Oregon quarterbacks as being more mobile.
That's what I think too. Like a Mariota type thing, like running around. It just seems like an odd choice for their type of offense that they typically run. So I don't know. I just think it's weird that he would ride the bench if Dante's going to stay, but who knows? Maybe that guy will head into the draft. I would say this, and I heard Andy Staples say this yesterday. If for whatever reason Dante has any inclination that the Jets might draft him, he needs to stay at Oregon because Jets kill quarterbacks. So we'll see what happens. I don't need a thank you from him or anything like that. Just go play at Oregon and be TJ and his wife's problem now, not ours.
Oh, wow. I'm with you. I don't need to thank you, but I do think it's bizarre that we haven't got something. Like he was at all the basketball games and, you know, being a cheerleader for, you know, and maybe that's part of his contract or whatever. Or they told him that he needs to be out in front and be the face of the football team. But for somebody that he was the face of the football program along with Rhule the last couple of years, I think it's weird. And I think, you know, in a day and age where these guys, like I said earlier, are kind of semi-pro, that to me, that lacks a little bit of professionalism.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, that's your point, man.
It's to your point, Matty-O, like, I don't, like, I think, Jeff, you raised a good point. I think he worked really hard at Nebraska. And he always faced the music. He always got up in front of the camera. He took responsibility. He did a lot of good things. He put like Nebraska on the map with some recruits. Like Mitch told us that he wouldn't have been with any, you know, he did a lot of good things at Nebraska. It was probably like, I do think where Nebraska erred, and maybe some of this fault is Raiola's, is it became the Raiola show for 2 years instead of the Nebraska show. And maybe the team suffered because of that. So that's real too. So if people have fatigue on Raiola, that's understandable. I don't care. I don't care at all if he puts out a message or whatever. To your point though, Matty-O, it's odd because he cares about the image. He cares about the brand. He cares about that. You would think he would do that simply because of that, for the public reason. Everybody say, look, he rises above it all. Everybody parts ways happy, whatever. It's a little surprising he didn't do it from that perspective.
Yeah, it's just weird. And as far as the fit at Oregon, I'm with you. Like I've always thought of, you know, basically post Joey Harrington, just about every Oregon quarterback I could think of could run. So that's a kind of a weird fit. But Dante Moore sat out a year. He transferred from UCLA, sat out a year. Now look how good he's played.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know, one of the top quarterbacks of, you know, potentially in the draft. But I wouldn't be surprised if he came back. He could probably earn $6 million to play one more year of college football.
Exactly. So
that's true.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, you're you could get hurt, but that's why you got Lloyds of London. Take out an insurance policy, Dante. You know, you get $6 million, take out some insurance, come back and play another year at Oregon. I'd imagine they're set to have a pretty good year next year too. So that's got to pull them a little bit back to Eugene. And then there's the Jets factor. You tell me, would you rather play another year at Oregon or go play for the Jets or the Raiders? Like, give me a break.
Jets would ruin his career. Ruin the career. Don't do it. Stay at Oregon.
So, yeah, I mean, best of luck to Dylan, but, you know, also, like, I hope
he's TJ's problem now. He's TJ's problem now. Not ours. He's TJ's problem.
Let me ask you guys this. Whether it's 2026 or 2027, if he's the Ducks starting quarterback for a full season, or two, I guess, technically that could happen, and lights it up because for whatever reason, he's protected better with a better offensive line, or he's surrounded by more talented receivers, whatever it is. Is that going to, are Husker fans going to have a hard time?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
If anything, if
that's
he shows up next
question.
If he bowls out next year, people would call him for Matt Rule's head. I'm telling you right now. Like, the if that guy turns around and is immediately successful as a starter at Oregon, it will not be good news here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well, it makes Uncle Donnie look even worse, too, because it's not all on Dylan and Rule, the lack of success. So I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think any of this is like, I think some people are also like, oh, he might go to Oregon and sit for a year. Like, oh, what a burn to Nebraska that would be or whatever. And I just kind of don't like, if Rule was in year three or four for Raiola's freshman year and the program was more stable, he probably would have sat at Nebraska. Like, he was going to sit at Georgia or Ohio State, and that would have been best for him. I think it's not hard to make that leap. So it's, he's probably going to get paid handsomely. Sipple, I think, said on the radio, there's two deals, essentially. There's a deal that if he sits, I assume he'll make less, but he'll still get paid if he sits for a year. And then there's another deal if he's the starter next year.
Sure.
So he's going to get paid either way. He's already gotten paid more than most of us will ever get paid in a year in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
In his 2 years at Nebraska, he's going to get paid again. His goal is to get to the NFL. Like, I don't have a lot of animosity for the kid. I think, the frustration comes from, again, maybe because the focus was so much on Dylan in the 2 years he was at Nebraska. Maybe the team suffered because of it. That's where the frustration comes from. But
sure.
Go get your bag, kid. I don't care. Go be great. Yeah. Whatever, we do reserve the right, though, to make fun of the Mahomes stuff or whatever now that he's not.
I was going to say, there's that picture floating around.
Now that we don't have to defend it.
Conveniently enough, he did commit to Oregon, I think, right after this picture of Mahomes was floating around on Twitter the other day wearing some sort of Oregon gear or something like that. What do you know?
That's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Mahomes looked like he lost a bet because Oregon beat Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't even. Yeah. Last thing, guys, it's just Twitter chatter, but it feels like the red lights are blaring about Mike Eckler, special teams coordinator, who completely flipped the third phase for the Huskers, potentially leaving USC as being heavily rumored. What's going on?
I don't know.
Possibly behind.
Don't let it happen.
Here's what I keep like. Eckler is from Nebraska. This is his third stint on some Nebraska coaching staff. And I assume Rule wants to keep him and will pay him handsomely to stay. So I think all that, it's like his dream job. So hopefully this is just chatter. Like, they need to pay him whatever he wants to stay. Eckler doesn't seem like are you going to take another, whatever USC is going to offer, Nebraska should just match it. Right. And hopefully it's just about Eckler being home and wanting to stay home. But crazy things happen in college football, and who knows what's going on here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to lose Coach Eck. That would not be good.
Especially from where we came from, like the way things were before he got here. Do you remember how down in the dumps we were about special teams before Eckler got here? That man was the savior of special teams. We've got to keep that guy paid. We got to keep him here for sure.
Yeah,
I don't want to go back to that feeling again.
You could make an argument that his unit won us a couple of games last year.
100%.
I mean, so yeah, we didn't want to do whatever we can to keep Coach Eck. Whatever the highest paid special teams coach is getting in college football, we should match that for Coach Eck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just checking Twitter here before.
Where are you going to find a coach like that that's going to be willing to headbutt players with their helmets on? Like, you're just not going to get that anywhere else.
And tackle the head coach to the point that the head coach turns around and yells at him on the sideline during a game. I don't know. A lot of noise, guys.
Mm-hmm.
pay that man his money. Give me the give me the John Malkovich thing from Rounders. Pay that man his money.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I got one actually.
I bet you do, Jeff.
I've got some inside sources, some listeners. Okay, and there's one of you guys out there. I don't know your last name, but I know your name's Eric J. And I know you've come up a few times and said I'm either too negative or I'm too positive. Well, how's this, Eric J., listener, common fan? How about if you don't like what I have to say, in the immortal words of Mike Tyson, turn off your station.
What?
What the hell are you talking about?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I didn't want to give you guys a heads up on this.
Is this like in the YouTube comments or something? What are you talking about?
I've got an inside source. Just I won't name names. I've got an inside source. He said one of his buddies is a listener, and he's always coming after me. So you know what, Eric J.? I'm on to you, my friend. I've got my eyes on you. Watch it.
Eric, we'll cut Jeff from the program. Just keep listening. Please keep listening, okay?
I'm just kidding, Eric. Don't threaten our listeners.
Yeah, we don't. That's not a recipe for success, Jeff.
Watch what you say to me.
You grade on people, don't you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Why should that be a surprise?
Yeah. Just watch what you say, Eric. Watch it. Watch yourself.
I guess, well, Eric, if you're walking around Lincoln, you got to watch your back, buddy.
Watch your back. I'm on to you, pal.
This is totally in jest. This is totally kidding. For any FCC monitors, we're totally joking. Yeah, there are no threats being levied here.
I didn't approve this
at the board either. This is all me, Eric. This is all me.
The personal vendetta. Okay, well, I'm not going to ask for any final thoughts anymore.
I have a final thought.
Yes,
I just want to say all my fellow deadheads out there who are mourning the loss of Bobby Weir, I'm with you.
Yes.
And, it's the great line, and I'm going to butcher it, so I'm just going to try to paraphrase, but, he said that he sees death as the last adventure and the final and best reward for a life well lived.
So rest in peace,
Bobby Weir. Love all my deadheads out there, and play a little Black-Throated Wind today or some Cassidy. Or any of the Bobby classics, and just give a little nod and a little thanks for him gracing us with his presence on this earth for the last 78 years.
Very well.
R.I.P. Bobby Weir.
Mm. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. All right, Common fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you next week. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.